news I gained just yesterday dismayed all that I learned. The emptiness of life examined. Time can't be.
Well, hello out there, and welcome to another episode of Things I Learned While Learning Other Things. This is an attempt by me, Joe Morahan, and my brother J.S. to provide you with a series of interesting, informative, educational, and we hope enjoyable stories that will help you navigate through those high seas of life. Today we introduce episode number 2 of The Man, The Myth, The Legend, Jack Bauer, and Other Stuff, with almost an emphasis on the other stuff. And we take up our story where we had left off in episode 1, after deciding to disregard God's most mysterious, most perplexing fixation on the unnatural nature of same-sex relations as the end of days appears. I mean, this is very, very weird. Such thoughts at such a time appear to be a very strange, misguided, alarming case of distraction on the part of God. The taking of his eyes off the ball at a most perilous time in universe history. The end of the world, no less. And not fully indicative that God suffered under the floating duck syndrome, but definitively thinking such as God was thinking at such a moment in galactic times is of probative value. It warrants analysis of a serious nature. Welcome, Dr. Jung. Welcome, Dr. Freud. If nothing else, it's definitely an elevated form of the, Jiminy Cricket in front of a steamroller distraction with likely catastrophic consequences attached. Pay attention, God. WTF. You read the Bible, you read Romans, and you've got to be disappointed by an all-knowing, all-powerful God's apparent inability to focus on the proper priorities at the moment of ultimate crisis. I mean, talk about the sky is falling, the sky is falling. It's the veritable end of days, man. As Dennis Hopper might have warned us in his most distinctive voice in a moment of apocalyptic alarm. And God is busy contemplating at this time, deciphering the implication of us, of just who is doing who up the kazoo. I mean, really? A distracted God is just, it's so unsettling. It's so disturbing. Such a distracted God would, and I know this is a crazy analogy, but it would resemble a member of that august body known to us as the Motion Picture Academy, among whose primary duties include recognizing actors for performance excellence, awarding an Academy Award, an Oscar, to the best actor in a film. That's their principal duty. And in 2005, Joaquin Phoenix starred as Johnny Cash, the Man in Black, in the movie, the film Walk the Line, a biography of the country music star's triumphant life that contained more than its fair share of tribulations along the way. We'll just say that. Joaquin Phoenix was more than phenomenal. He was simply fabulous. And not only did Joaquin Phoenix perform, a great imitation of Johnny Cash, playing the guitar, singing his mannerisms, many people, myself included, we thought that Joaquin Phoenix was Johnny Cash. He was that good. He was Johnny Cash in the same way that George C. Scott became General Patton in the movie Patton, directed by Franklin Schaffner. I mean, you'd be hard-pressed to find many people who don't agree with this take on Joaquin Phoenix's performance in Walk the Line. And yet, Hollywood's woke. Motion Picture Academy. I mean, distracted at the moment that they were to think through their most important duty. At this most important moment, they were busy thinking about something else, about how important it was to see on screen two same-sex human beings kissing on the screen. I mean, Christ, can you get more distracted than that? Same-sex behaviors distracted the Motion Picture Academy from the task that they were designed to do. It clouded their mental processes. And when they awarded the Oscar for Best Actor in a Film in 2005, they awarded the Oscar not to Joaquin Phoenix, but to a guy from Brokeback Mountain, so as to not reward the Best Actor in a Film in 2005. Because clearly there had been no better film performance than that turned in by Joaquin Phoenix. But to demonstrate its politically correct support for same-sex proclivities, two guys doing each other, is to be lauded for some reason. Forget their real obligation. I mean, just so distracted was their thinking. And so one can see how important it is for God not to lose the plot, to get distracted by insignificant same-sex issues as apocalypse approaches. I mean, who cares? What's important now? God, save the freaking world. I mean, it sends a bad message, and people will model the behavior, even of flawed gods who make mistakes. That God would be reflecting on same-sex issues as the world's coming to an end is so damn disheartening. And now that I think about this, and this is another stretch, but it explains, no, it almost legitimizes Hitler's home office staff, his freaked out fellow Nazis in his bunker in Berlin, screaming in terror as the sounds of the massive, unrelenting artillery fire closed in on them. The Russians are coming. The Russians are coming. Damn straight. Yeah, the Russians are coming, you Nazis. Indeed, they are. And Stalin's Red Army boys? Well, they were a very hungry bunch, a voracious lot of fellows they were. And they meant business. Look out, Brigitte. Watch out, Frida. You know, hold on, Helga. You have no idea of just how bad things are going to get for you. The Red Army is a bunch of animals. Well, the German women, I mean, maybe they did know what the future held for them, for they took to the concrete stairwells, and reportedly, everywhere one might look, they might witness fully engaged, madly humping, madly thrusting, screwings going on amongst the Germans, just like bunnies, right there in the concrete stairwells of the Führer's own bunker as the Red Army rolled into Berlin. As crazed sex as can be imagined, as if there would be no tomorrow for those madly copulating Nazis. Well, about that, they were mostly right. I mean, there would be no tomorrow. Apparently, you know, given the fear of Red Army gang rapes to come, of which there would be millions, by the way, Stalin had ordered his men, have some fun. And well, fun for you, or fun for me, has a whole different meaning than it did for the Red Army in 1945, let me assure you. Therefore, Brigitte and Helga and Frida, they took to those stairwells in Hitler's bunker like they were at the Ritz or the Adlon in Berlin, and they screwed their brains out. That out of their system, only then would they chomp down on their cyanide capsules or take a bullet to the head? Those Nazis whom decided to hang around post all that concrete stairwell end of days crazed sex to see what tomorrow might bring? Well, they'd soon regret that stupid decision, because tomorrow, you know, meant mass raping, being beaten to a pulp, beaten to death by rifle butts to be shot on sight, or worse, forced starvation marched off for years to be spent until death in Dante-esque, you know, hellhole special regime camps Stalin had authorized be established to hold those Nazis in the gulags of Kazakhstan and Siberia and all other kinds of inhospitable terrain that makes up all of Soviet Russia. Few ever returned. And those Germans whom were released only in like 1955, they hardly could be defined as human beings. Such had been their sufferings, not after what they had experienced at the hands of the Russians. So upon reflection, all that maddened lusting, that Nazi humping, a last train to Clarksville chance to get off, even if fate dictated consummation, orgiastic relief, and climax need be experienced only in the less than cozy, concrete, subterranean, confined stairwells of Hitler's bunker moments prior to expiring. That had been worth it, I guess. By, God, if this does not appear to be a pretty darn good way to spend one's last thrusting but intensely satisfying minutes, just facing, just prior to facing eternity at the hands of the Russians or cyanide capsules. Oh, Fraulein Frieda, Brigitte, oh mein Helga. Anyway, long before soon-to-be-dead Nazis faced their end of the day's moment of truth, they, like God before them, as Roman tells us, they were thinking about sex. I don't think the Nazis gave much thought, however, to the natural or unnatural behaviors that same-sex entails. Frenzied Nazis just got on with it, unlike God, who was busy thinking through the ramifications of all this same-sex relations business. And why, and I ask again, why would God be doing this? It makes no sense. This is the kind of evidence that makes it clear to me that the great book, the Bible, was not written or inspired by God, but it was authored by some very, very talented storyteller of incomparable skill, a talented man, a human who was, no doubt about it, extraordinarily sexually frustrated, as writers often are, and possibly as well, maybe even a bit sexually confused himself. Not exactly clear on any given Sunday, as they say, as to his, her, they's sexual preference, identity, or gender. Maybe bi, even sometimes. I think today I'm feeling a bit binary. You know what I mean? Or desirous of trans status. And remember, this is the Middle East. It's a part of the world known for its extreme form of intolerance. A Middle Eastern environment where simply being a gay guy, even in 2024, possibly means one might be stoned to death. Yeah, boy. Like, that's all in one's mind. Like Jeff Lynne of Electric Light Orchestra made so famous in the 1970s, I just can't get it out of my head. No, I can't just get it out of my head. I mean, in a moment of it's an existential crisis. Let it be said with no equivocation that unlike the God of Romans, this is not a mistake Jack Bauer would make. Jack Bauer would not maintain, you know, make this mistake. He would maintain focus on the enemy at hand. Yes, he would. And it is on this point of clarity that Jack Bauer always remained focused on the task at hand. That task commitment was his thing. That will end this episode of The Man, The Myth, The Legend, Jack Bauer, and Other Stuff. Hey, thanks for listening, and hope you'll be more of The Other Stuff. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Surrounding me, tap to the wind, taste the sea breeze, tropical heaven on the coral sea. A little more rum, I think of my wife. What did I do? Have I ruined my life? I tell her I've changed, become a new man. I promise I will, and I know that I can. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? The sea's now boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. From tomorrow, days from the land, nothing can save me unless fate lends a hand. Storm it is worse and I have no control. The wind and the waves are taking their toll. I look to the stars, there's none I can see. I'm afraid fate, she has answered me. Only moments my story will end. There was a story I wanted to send. Oh, how I dream for the calm of the sea. A beautiful face smiling back at me. The sea is boiling and I'm getting cold. I've lost my sails, got to find a way home. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the high seas of life. When did the skies change? When did they turn black? How am I ever gonna get myself back? Alone in my boat, I think of my wife. I'm lost in a drift on the